Hi guys, welcome back to this week's episode of Investor Intelligence, brought to you by the team at The Property Mentors. It is your weekly podcast for all things investment. My name is Phoebe Sikowski-Wallace and I am your host. Back with me today is none other than our favourite investment expert, Luke Harris. How's it going, Luke?
G'day, Phoebe. How's your week?
Very good. It's been busy. I'm very excited to talk about our topic today. I just want to quickly mention that it is actually our 20th episode this week, which I know maybe in the podcasting world isn't all that impressive, but it is for us. It's a bit of a milestone for us, and we've just been having so much fun making this podcast, making content for you guys. And we just want to thank you so much for all the great feedback that we've had so far. And there's always so much to talk about. There's really no shortage of content as far as property and the market. So we're just so excited to keep making it for you guys. But thank you. But today's episode, it is inspired by one of our latest blog articles. So we kind of just wanted to elaborate on that. But it's also inspired by a lot of the conversations that we're having around the office at TPM at the moment. So Luke, these conversations are about how quickly property is moving. They're being secured and bought in record time. So Luke, as someone active in the industry, what exactly are you seeing?
Phoebe, we're seeing at the moment property selling well and truly light speed beyond what we've ever seen before. And, you know, over the last 10 years, there's been hot markets and there's been warm markets and there's been good markets. But we've seen in the last 3 to 6 months, particularly, the properties are just selling at absolute record speed. And the interesting part about that is that not just the best properties and the good properties are selling at record speed, but even the average properties that aren't so good are selling a lot faster than what they should be.
Yeah. And I mean, what's driving that at the moment? So I know sort of interest rates being at an all-time low is probably one of them, but are there any other big factors to that?
Well, interest rates are one big component of that. But the thing is that during the 2020 and 2021 pandemic period, I guess, or the peak of the pandemic over those years, a lot of people stayed home and they were a bit uncertain about the market. So they've squirreled away their funds. They've been saving money, saving for a rainy day, and not going out there and spending. They haven't been going buying big ticket items and buying new homes and upgrading. And I think now that the peak of the pandemic is sort of behind us, hopefully, fingers crossed, people are now going out there and saying, well, I'm going to take advantage of the low interest rates. Again, think of the last 2 years. People have had a lot of time on their hands. A lot of people have had either reduced work hours. They've been working from home, which means they're not commuting to work every day. And I guess people have had a chance over the last couple of years, myself included, to sort of revisit the long-term plans. What am I doing here? You know, I've been stuck in lockdowns and I guess looking at what they want long-term. And it really has been a chance for people to reflect. And for those people that have been doing that and have also been saving money and not spending it over the last couple of years, a lot of people have now decided, okay, now's the time. I'm going to get out there, upgrade my family home. I'm going to downsize, move to a different suburb, move to a different state, like a lot of people have been doing, is just packing up and going for that sea change or tree change that people have been talking about. But also people have been planning to invest and people are now out there in force buying property. And it's like nothing I've seen for a very long time.
I was going to ask if it is anything to do with people seeking that sea change or tree change, and the, you know, to do with the pandemic, the increase of people moving to regional areas.
I think it is partly that, but I think there's multiple layers to this, and there's multiple layers to what's going on right now. And really, the pandemic has been the big component of this. But you know, like I said, the sea change, the tree change, the low interest rates, the fact that people have sort of not been spending for the last few years, and there's just a general market sentiment out there around property is quite positive. So there's a lot of talk about the property markets right now. And whilst there is some talk of interest rates increasing, and we have discussed that on previous podcasts, people are still confident with property and they're still going out there and buying it. So it's hard to pinpoint one thing. And it's the interesting thing with the property markets is that there is never just one thing that drives it. There's a whole range of things and different layers that are going to affect different markets. But where we're at right now is that the affordable property markets are the ones that are moving the fastest. So that's in the median house price or below. The higher end properties are still selling, and a lot of those are still selling for a premium, but the high end markets in a lot of the capital cities around the country are probably a little bit more cautious than anything at or below the median house price in those areas.
Mm. You seem to be reading my mind. I was going to ask if there's a kind of what's the hottest sort of price bracket at the moment, and is this happening all over Australia as well?
It's difficult to say that it's happening all over Australia because not all markets are the same. However, what we are seeing is that properties in that sub $650,000 price point is there's two factors to that. One is first home buyers are quite active in that market, and there's a lot of talk about first home buyers sitting on the sidelines, and then there's other articles that come out saying that first home buyers are out there in force. But that sub $650,000 price point anywhere across the country seems to be quite an active space, and they seem to be where most properties that are in well-located areas, good infrastructure and good capital growth potential, they're selling fast. And the speed that we've seen properties come on the market and go has been insane, and even off-market opportunities that we've seen from our vendors and our networks that we've got all around the country. Some of those, you know, we get told that there's a property available, we get sent the information, we look at it, next day it's gone.
Mm.
And it's an exciting time to be in property, but it's also quite frustrating for us and our members trying to navigate through that when we're really trying to secure the best deals. But that price point under $650,000, And to a certain extent, up to 700,000, but sub 650 is just a really hot market at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, just to paint a picture, there have been quite a few examples, and just going back to the conversations that we've been having around the office, is that people are missing out on properties within like a matter of hours. So there's really kind of not been much time to sort of mull things over.
Yeah, it really comes down to the fact that people need to understand their strategy first. And I've always made the example of explaining that the property is important. Absolutely, the property is important. And especially when you're investing in property, the property is important. But also the strategy behind your investing is important as well. What happens with most investors when they're starting out is they're just looking at the property, because they don't understand the strategy. So what they're doing is they're looking at the property on its own and trying to make a decision on their investing just on the property. And without knowing the strategy and the reason why you're purchasing that property and how that property fits in like a jigsaw puzzle piece, how it fits in with the long-term plan, it's hard to weight the property decision and the strategy decision if you're just looking at the property. So when we're looking at properties for our members, we're always looking at the property and the strategy. So if you've got your strategy in place, when the property comes along, it's just a matter of ticking the box and putting it into the portfolio. If people are just looking at the property and they don't understand the strategy, then when a property comes around, all they're doing is focusing on that property because they don't understand the strategy. And this is where people can get confused, because they're simply looking at the property, looking at the area, looking at the floor plan and the kitchen and the carpets and all the fun things that go with buying a property. But it's more difficult to make that decision if the strategy behind that isn't clear. So working with our mentors, obviously we want to make sure that we understand the strategy so that when the property comes up, wherever that may be, it's an easier decision to make because you already understand why you're buying that property and how it fits in.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a point we are just going to continue to make, is the fact that you will already be ready before, you know, if we were to present you with a property. So you'd be ready. You're not going to be emotionally attached to it by that point. So you are going to be ready to move. Yeah.
And I think to add on to that is that if you're just starting out in property and you don't really understand the strategy, when you're looking at a property, 100% of your decision making is going to be around the property. And because all of that decision making is going to be looking at so many different components, it's going to take you longer to go through the process that you need to be comfortable with that property, because you're only looking at the property. Now, in different situations, it's going to be a different weighting, right? So the property strategy for some people might be 60 or 70% of the decision making, and only 20 or 30% or 40% might be on the actual property itself. Some people, it might be 90% on the property and 10% on the strategy. And the others might be 80% on the strategy and 20% on the property. But at the end of the day, if you already know the strategy and part of the decision making is already made, then it's a lot quicker process to actually understand the decision making around the actual property itself.
Mm. Well, that ties in really well to one of the, there's a really great line from that blog article I was mentioning before, and it says, the property that someone finds today and plans to research tomorrow is the same property that someone else looked at yesterday and purchased today.
That's it. And then the thing is that if you've already got an understanding of the actual property itself that you're looking for, you've identified to a certain extent what price point, whether you're looking for something that's got a particular yield, capital growth area, if you already understand the general property markets, then it's a lot easier to make that decision. And like you said, people that are considering a property today, somebody else bought it yesterday, because they don't actually understand the things that they need to be focusing on. And it is difficult. It's a tough thing to be feeling rushed when you're buying a property. I've been in many, many situations over the years where I've been competing with other buyers. And the problem is, a lot of the time, you don't know who those other buyers are, and that you don't know what their financial position is or how well they're able to negotiate. You can miss out on properties by minutes. And it's not always about the money. It's making sure that your financial situation is strong enough to be able to put something solid to the vendor. If you're if you're putting an offer forward and you're making all of these changes and it's subject to finance and you've got all of these inspections and other things being requested of the vendor, it seems like to the vendor that it's quite a complex deal. And if they get another contract given to them, that's a fast settlement, it's at the asking price, and there's no conditions attached to it, they're going to take that offer all day, every day. So we've got to be mindful of what we can and what we can't get when we're putting an offer forward. And often what people will do is they'll think, look, I'm going to be cautious with my approach. I'm going to make sure I put a due diligence period in place. I'm going to put a finance clause in place. I want a building and pest inspection. And these are all valid points to have. But often people, whilst they might want those protections in the contract, sometimes people are more willing to go and buy that same property without any of those conditions. So it just means that we might be looking a little bit longer for the property. And the problem is that people have missed out on multiple properties because they're very rigid and very set with their criteria. Mm-hmm. And if that criteria means that you're going to have all of these inspections and reports done, then some vendors are just going to keep knocking that back because they're getting better offers. So you need to make sure that when you're presenting an offer to a vendor, that it's not too onerous on getting all these other things done, and that there's uncertainty for the vendor. You've got to think, the vendors that are selling property around the country, they're selling property because they want the result. Their financial situation means that they need to sell some properties. They might be restructuring their portfolio and selling down some assets. Might be an owner-occupier that wants to upgrade and they've got their eyes on another property. So every vendor has their own motivations as to why they're selling that property. And they're looking for something that's simple.
Yeah, of course.
So if a vendor gets presented with a contract that's simple, even if it's a little bit less than their asking price, if it's a simple contract without all of these restrictions, then often we can get a much better result for our members. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't put subject to finance in your contract. We're not saying you shouldn't do inspections if it's a completed property, that you shouldn't do building or pest inspections. You should absolutely do those things. But sometimes you may miss out on a few properties that completely fit your situation if we're putting too many conditions on that contract. So it's just being mindful of the market that we're in. When the markets are a little bit quieter and there's less demand on property, then we can put all sorts of offers in. And I've put some very cheeky offers in over the years and had them accepted because I've understood the market conditions. But we need to make sure that our purchasing process matches the market conditions that we're in at the time. And if we're in a very tough market where it's really difficult to secure a good quality property for a good price that's going to give us some amazing growth and cash flow, we need to be mindful of that and making sure that we're not shooting ourselves in the foot by putting too many conditions on a sale that means that we're going to miss out on the property potentially. Because what happens if you do that two or three or four times, you might lose 3-6 months by trying to put all of these conditions in place. And 6 months later, the prices have all gone up. You might have cost yourself $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 because you're trying to find You're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. You're trying to find a vendor that's willing to take all of the terms and conditions that you want. And, you know, we've had situations where the lawyers representing the buyers have come back with 30 changes on a contract. You send it to the vendor and the vendor turns around and says, sorry, we sold it this morning. You know, it's already gone. So you can request all of the changes in the contract, but the reality is someone else has already bought it.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to make sure that you're mindful of how quickly those things can and do happen. And like I said earlier, is that sub $650,000 price point is extremely tough to get into right now as far as good quality property. There's a lot of second tier and third tier properties that may not be the best investments, and even those are selling quickly.
Do you want to just quickly define subject to finance for someone who's not heard that term before or is sort of new to this?
Yeah, for sure. So look, if you're going in to buy a property for the first time, whether you're a first home buyer or first time investor, generally when you're buying a property on the open market, and I'm not talking about auction is a different situation, but if you're just buying a property, you go and do an inspection on the weekend, you like the property, you come back to the real estate agent's office a lot of the time, and they'll present you with a contract. The agent will generally ask you, are you getting finance? Have you got finance approved from the bank? A lot of people might say, well, yes, we've got a pre-approval. Mm-hmm. A pre-approval is just a letter from the bank saying, subject to a number of different things, including your credit checks and so forth, that we'll probably lend you up to this amount of money, which means you can generally go out there confidently in the marketplace and go and secure an offer. But a pre-approval is really just that. It's just a pre-approval. It's the same thing as a mortgage broker punching in your figures into a computer, and your mortgage broker comes out and says, yes, you can borrow up to this amount.
Hmm.
It's a pre-approval is exactly the same as your mortgage broker doing that. It's just the bank doing it and putting it on paper. In a PDF, I should say. So when you go in and sign up with the real estate agent, they're sitting down across the table from you, you've got butterflies because you're all nervous. They ask you, are you putting in an unconditional offer or is it subject to finance? And most of the time, if you've got a pre-approval or if you've already spoken to your bank or your broker, your advice will be to sign a contract subject to finance. If you don't put subject to finance in your contract, that means that whatever offer you put forward is unconditional as soon as the vendor puts their signature on that document, which means that you've committed to buying that property no matter what. When you're putting subject to finance on a contract, and this is for an existing property, not an off-the-plan property, but for an existing property, you put subject to finance, then it gives you 14 or 21 days, sometimes a little bit longer, to have your finance approved by the bank and get ready for settlement. And that's obviously 30, 60 days, usually 90 days after the sale date. So generally, the subject to finance clause is a protection because, of course, if you can't get that finance, then the bank can send you a letter saying, well, your finance is declined, and then the contract is at an end. There's no commitment to buy the contract. Any deposits you paid are refunded back to you. And aside from maybe some legal or conveyancing fees that you've incurred, maybe a few hundred dollars, generally hasn't cost you anything. Whereas if you purchase that property without any finance clause at all, you'd have to be pretty confident that you can get your finance approved. And typically most people buying property for the first one or two or three times, even fourth or fifth time, they're generally still buying a property subject to finance if it's an existing property. If it's off the plan, there's no ability to do a subject to finance clause because the settlement doesn't happen for a year or two. And so the vendor is not going to have their whole development subject to the whole range of buyers potentially getting finance. So off the plan is very different.
Gotcha.
But if you're buying an established property or a finished property, that subject to finance clause can protect you. Now, generally, the way we work with our members is that before you even look at a property or consider a property to fit into your long-term plan, we've already had conversations with you and the broker to make sure that you're comfortable with what you can purchase. So your borrowing capacity or your ability to service debt might come back from the mortgage broker at $500,000. And that gives you the ability to buy up to $500,000. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to max you out and spend $499,999. Means we might go in and be a little bit conservative and look in that $400,000 to $450,000 price point to give a little bit of a buffer in case the banks tighten up their rules or change the rules, as banks always do. They're changing week to week. But we just need to make sure that we're not maxing you out and going above what you can actually buy. A lot of people, first home buyers in particular, and again, I've heard this, had a conversation with Chelsea earlier in the week, who's our superstar mortgage broker that we use. And Chelsea said a lot of people go and buy off the plan and buy their first home. And they buy a townhouse, for example, and they tick all of the boxes. They want upgraded air conditionings. They want, you know, all of these extra carpets and stone bench tops. And the inclusions and extras that they tick can be $40,000 or $50,000 more than the actual purchase price. Right. And oftentimes banks aren't going to value those the same as the actual retail cost. So people can get themselves into trouble by ticking all of the extra boxes there. So the main thing to understand when you're buying any property is to make sure that your broker or your bank is completely on board with what you're doing first, and make sure that you understand the implications of all of these extra expenses that can be incurred.
Yeah, that's all really good stuff to know. So due to today's hyper-competitive market, an important service that we provide to our members is what we call an EOI, which stands for expression of interest. So this literally buys you time to consider a property by taking it off the market for a set period of time. Luke, do you want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, like I said before, normally when you go and buy a property, you sit down with a real estate agent, sit in their office. They're usually a very small office for some reason, and you sign a contract. I mean, I've sat in many of them, and basically they pull the contract out and they say, put your name down, your address, all of your details, put your solicitor or conveyancer's details down, and then sign it. That's buying the property, and they'll ask you if you want to do subject to finance. And that's about it. That's as far as the advice goes. And from that point, they take the contract back to the owner. The owner signs it, and then all of a sudden, the property deal is done, or it's underway at least if the finance clause is in there. Our process at the Property Mentors has always been to assist our members in getting the best result through the property process without any pressure. There's a lot of companies out there, including real estate agents, and a lot of people selling and promoting off the plan properties and various other things, where if you want to buy the property, they'll present you the contract straight away, like the real estate agents do, and you sign that contract. Very simple. Sign the contract and you've bought it. Our process is a little bit different because we understand that a lot of our members aren't quite emotionally ready. They might be financially ready and they might be educationally ready, but emotionally readiness really comes from experience and going through the process. So an expression of interest essentially allows somebody to show interest in a property and take it off the market for a period of time whilst they conduct their due diligence, conduct their research, and also discuss with their mentor and discuss with their advisors. And, you know, this means your mortgage broker, accountant, financial planner, whoever else is involved, to discuss that property, how it fits in with the plan, make sure that the finance can go through safely, and make sure that the property genuinely does fit in with that long-term plan. So the expression of interest process is something that we've actually negotiated with vendors around the country. They know that this is how the Property Mentors works, and we're not going to just shove a contract in front of somebody and say, hey, sign here. I don't believe that's the best way to buy property. And look, at the end of the day, sometimes people will miss out by following that process. But the 7-day process for an expression of interest essentially allows us to take that property off the market for 7 days to conduct that due diligence and that research. Now, most vendors are okay with us doing that because they understand that our members are long-term property investors, and people that genuinely want to build wealth through property. And so therefore, we explain to them that our process is not to rush people. And by doing that and giving people time to go through and conduct their research and ask questions and not feel pressured and rushed into buying a property, gives them confidence that they've got that breathing space to do that research and ask those questions. Now, the reality of the situation right now is that 7-day period has more become a 3-day period. Because at the moment there's a lot of pressure on companies like ourselves and the Property Mentors to make sure that there's maybe 6 buyers for one property, so we can't really take the property off the market indefinitely if our members aren't ready to go. So we always playing a fine line, a juggling act, I guess, with keeping the vendors happy and getting the best deals for our members. Now, in the last month or so, we've seen probably a dozen or so of our members have actually missed out on properties. And what that means is that they've actually been in the market ready to buy. And by the time we've actually secured the property, submitted the expression of interest form, the property's been sold.
So it's important to know that this is not an industry standard. Our offering of this is due to us establishing trusted relationships with our developers. And so it's three to 7 days usually. Three is kind of looking more so like the reality though at the moment, Luke?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, typically we've allowed 7 days to go through and conduct that research and due diligence once we've secured a property. But it's becoming more like 3 days now because of the fact that properties are moving so quickly. And I think in the last month or so, about a dozen or so of our members have actually missed out on properties purely because by the time they've had the conversation with our mentor, they've submitted the expression of interest form to actually reserve their property, and we've submitted that through to the vendor. We've got confirmation that the property's been sold literally hours before or the day before we submitted that. So we're always trying to keep up with market conditions, but at the same time, we're not here to rush or pressure our members into doing something they're not ready to do. So it's a balancing act between getting people to take action. Obviously, without taking action, you're not going to buy property. Without buying property, you don't build wealth. So you can't just sit on your hands forever. But at the same time, we've got to make sure that we're understanding people's emotional, educational, and financial readiness. And it's the emotional readiness that sometimes people feel like things are moving too fast. And the honest reality is it's the market conditions that are doing that. It's not doing that. And it's very difficult to sort of explain to somebody that you're going to have to move fast to secure a property. If we've gone and established your plan, we understand what your long-term goals are, and we understand the property plan to build wealth through property. When the property arrives, it should be a very simple process of saying, yes, we need the property. Mm-hmm. And we're still going to try and take the property off the market, give you time to discuss with your accountant, your financial planner, your mortgage broker, and your property mentor. But things are moving very fast. Yes, there's always another property out there, but sometimes when we find the ideal property, we need to move on it quickly. And it's actually quite an exciting time because obviously adding another property to your portfolio is a lot of fun. But sometimes the pace that things move can be very fast. So we do a lot of pre-planning, a lot of conversations with the mortgage broker, and a lot of conversations, goal setting, talking about the emotional, financial, and educational readiness to actually be ready to buy. But when we actually draw a line in the sand and say we've done all of that pre-work, we understand why we're investing, we understand what the long-term goals are, we understand what our borrowing capacity is. When we cross that line in the sand and say we're in the market and we're now looking for a property, we need to be ready to move quickly. And that's just so that we can secure the best investments. When they come up, obviously good property is going to sell faster. Mm. Properties that aren't so good, maybe they'll sit around a little bit longer. But the good properties are what we source for our members. And we obviously need to be mindful of the fact that the market conditions right now are insane. It's the fastest moving market I've seen for a very, very long time. And especially in the last 10 years, to see properties selling so quickly. And literally within hours, we've seen properties come on the market and go. And we've seen off-market properties that have been sold. I've got emails even in the last week where I've been sent a property. Later that afternoon, get another email to follow up. Sorry, this has been sold. And it's very, very frustrating because obviously we're trying to get the best results for our members, and it can be quite a frustrating process to go through. But I think the main thing for really sharing this information today was just to explain to people that the market conditions right now mean that we need to be ready first. So before you get into the market to actually start looking for a property, make sure all of that pre-work is done. Make sure you understand the goals. Make sure you understand your borrowing capacity and what you can borrow from the banks. Understand how the property is going to fit into the long-term plan so that when you do say, I'm ready, I'm drawing that line in the sand and I'm now in the market. When you say that you're in the market, then finding the property should be the easy bit.
So even though we've gone to the effort of creating this EOI process to kind of give our members time, Is an EOI enough? Like, can you talk to, you know, does this guarantee you the property? Because it is not a legally binding contract. A contract of sale is legally binding.
That's right. So an expression of interest is just that. It's expressing your interest in the property.
Yep.
And there's nothing binding on either the vendor or the purchaser with that expression of interest. What it means is it's saying, hey, I'm interested in the property. I'm happy to put down a $1,000 holding deposit to secure my interest in that property. And for most people and most vendors, that means that they will actually take that property off the market. Now, a lot of vendors will actually honor that. They'll take it off the market and allow you time to go through that process. Some vendors, they know that they've got a property that's able to be sold just like that. And they are in the position where they say, well, we'll accept your expression of interest, but if another buyer comes along with a contract, a signed contract, we will sell it to them. So it's a very tough thing for us to explain to our members that properties are being sold that quickly. And you've got to think from the vendor's perspective, as much as they value the relationship with us and they value the long-term nature of our business, at the end of the day, they've all got their own motivations for selling property. And vendors have got, you know, there's a lot of situations happening. There's divorces that happen and people need to sell quickly. There is developers that maybe they've got 4 or 5 properties left and they need to sell those so that they can get into their next development. Maybe they've got an opportunity to purchase another development and they need the last of their properties sold. So they might be interested in selling to whoever comes along first with a signed contract. So what it means is that when you actually are in the market and you've got a property to look at, you need to contact your broker very quickly. You need to contact your solicitor or conveyancer to run through that contract. Generally, that should all happen within 24 hours. You need to be on the phone. You can't schedule an appointment in a week's time to discuss it because that property may be gone by then. So in a perfect world, yes, we would have all the time to book an appointment in a week's time to talk to the broker. The reality is, if you're in the market ready to buy something, you need to have conversations with your expert advisors in advance to say, hey, I'm looking at properties. Mm. When I find something, I need to be able to pin you down quickly. I'm going to call you on your mobile. I'm going to schedule an appointment to go through the contract and I need you to have some time allocated for me. And if you can't have that time, let me know and I'll call someone else.
Yeah.
And that's how I operate, because if I'm going to miss out on a property, I can't be waiting for 4 or 5 days for my advisors to be available.
Mm.
And I need to tell them in advance and pre-plan that I'm in the market looking for a property, because when a contract gets presented, I want that advice straight away. And obviously that can mean that they might have to shuffle their calendar around a little bit. But basically, you're the investor. You need to be in charge of that, right? Mm-hmm. The conveyancers and mortgage brokers, they're going to operate at their own pace because they've got other clients to deal with. Surprise, surprise. But if they understand the urgency and they understand that, you know, you're in the market, you're looking to buy something, if you've already told them that's what's happening and to expect a call from you, then there's no surprises when they call you, because obviously they're there to help you. But unless they know the timeframes that you're working with, then they'll just say, well, I'm available next Tuesday. And then you accept that appointment. But by accepting that appointment, you've actually missed out on the property. And that's where the frustration comes in for a lot of people, because they don't understand the process involved. And this is what we're here to teach, is that, you know, whilst the property market is moving quickly, yes, we can always secure another property. But if you manage things properly and you're actually in charge of the experts that you're working with, and you're advising them and keeping open communication with them around the timeframes that you expect them to assist you, then there's no reason why that can't happen the way that it needs to happen. So I think to sort of summarize where we're at with this at the moment is that it is a very hot market and you need to make sure that you've got all of your ducks lined up.
I think that's just a really important point to make, is that an EOI doesn't actually guarantee you the property. But on the other hand, you know, you sort of mentioned $1,000 is sort of roughly about a sort of common deposit, but that is an amount that is refundable if, after you've had time to think about it, you've been through the numbers and decided not to go through with it, it is a refundable amount.
Absolutely. Look, the reason the $1,000 deposit's usually taken across the board is it shows the vendor that you're serious. Right? Yeah. If you just submit a piece of paper with your details on it, well, that might be a serious thing or it might not be. If you put $1,000 down and an expression of interest with all of your contact details, it shows them that there's a genuine buyer there. They're happy to put $1,000 down and they're going through the process to potentially buy the property. And most vendors are okay with that process if it's been explained to them. And this is what we do in advance. Now, the alternative is we do what a lot of people out there do. A lot of agents and a lot of property people out there will say, here's the contract, sign the contract. And they don't give you time to get your advice. They don't give you time to discuss it with your conveyancer or with your lawyer. And the reality is a lot of people actually get stuck in a contract that they really can't do anything about, because maybe they can't get the finance. Maybe they've paid a higher price than what they can actually afford. Maybe there's some changes that need to be made in the contract. And this is where a lot of people get caught out. And this is why a lot of people in the property industry have a bad name, because that's how they operate. So our process really is to make sure that people understand what they're doing. We want you all to become better investors. That's the whole purpose of investor intelligence, is to make sure that you're investing intelligently. And by doing that, it means making smart decisions along the way, and making sure that you're going through a proper process and not feeling rushed in the whole experience.
And just as a comparison, putting a $1,000 deposit to secure a $500,000 house is, you know, kind of the same as putting maybe like a $50 deposit on a $50,000 luxury car. It's such a small deposit in the scheme of what you'd be spending on a property, and it buys you that time.
Well, that's it. And as like I said, it is a refundable deposit. If you don't go ahead, you can't get your finance, or for whatever reason, if you go and conduct your due diligence and you ask some questions and you find that it doesn't suit you, then you'll obviously get that money back. We've never had a situation where somebody doesn't get their holding deposit back, because it is a holding deposit only. Yeah. And obviously it sits in a solicitor's trust account. It doesn't sit with the vendor. It doesn't sit in their top drawer in their office. It doesn't sit in their personal bank account. It sits in a solicitor's or a real estate agent's trust account. And that way it has to be accounted for. And that is a safe process. And of course, we protect our members by making sure that comes back in a timely fashion if the property doesn't proceed. If you do buy the property and you're required to pay a 10% deposit in most cases against the contract value, that $1,000 just comes off the 10%. So if you've got a $50,000 deposit to pay on that house, then the remaining balance would only be $49,000.
And just to sort of, as a bit of a wrap up, you have kind of mentioned it before, but maybe just to sort of finish us off, is there anything what can people do to sort of mitigate, missing out? What, I know it's sort of be ready beforehand, so you're ready to sign, but what can people just keep in mind to mitigate missing out?
I think the main thing is to understand that there is going to be a stressful period. When you're going out there and buying a property, whether it's your first property, your second property, or your 10th property, in this market, it can be stressful. So knowing in advance that it's going to be stressful, you can prepare yourself for that. So one of the best things that you can do to prepare yourself is make sure that you've had your conversations with the mortgage broker. Make sure you've had the conversations with your accountant about what structure you're going to buy it in. You're going to buy it in your own name, you and your partner, you and your brother, maybe you're going to buy in a company or a trust or in a self-managed super fund. Know those things first so that you've already got those things set up. If you're going to buy in another structure other than your own name, a company or a self-managed super fund, make sure that your mortgage broker knows that. So have all of your purchasing information sorted out first, and make sure that you've got all of that structure set up, ready to rock and roll. And then make sure, of course, that you know the plan and the strategy. Because as we said earlier, the plan and the strategy accounts for some of, if not a large percentage of, your purchasing decision. So if you've already spoken to your broker, you know what you can borrow. You've spoken to your accountant, you know whether you're buying it in your own name or a company, trust, self-managed super fund. You've spoken to your mentor and you understand the long-term plan and the strategy around that. When the property arrives at your doorstep, so to speak, then the process of buying that property should be a lot simpler, because you've already had all of those ducks lined up, as they say.
Yeah.
And so understand that it can be stressful. The more organized you are, the more you understand your situation, the more you understand your finances, the more you understand your long-term goals, the less stressful it will be, because you actually know how that property fits in. Whereas if you haven't got all of those ducks lined up, you haven't done all of that pre-planning, when the property arrives at your doorstep, then you're confused, you're not sure, this is all moving too fast, I need to contact all of these different people to have discussions with them, and it moves very fast. A lot of people will feel that pressure, and a lot of that pressure will sometimes be blamed for, well, you're trying to rush me into something. Well, no, we're not. We're just saying this is something that we've got a plan for. And so often you'll feel like that pressure is on you, even though us showing you that property is something that you actually asked us to do. So it's just, it's getting that fine balance between understanding what's going to happen. And if you already understand that buying an investment can give you butterflies, it can give you a stressful period, right? But we can minimize that by actually understanding how it fits in with the long-term plan. And like we keep repeating that, but it is so important to understand that. So knowing that that's the market that we're in and we'll probably be in for some time, it just makes sense to really understand, to have those ducks lined up. It's going to be less stressful for you and you're going to enjoy the process a little bit more. And every time I buy a property, I'm still a little bit nervous. There's always still some unknowns and I don't know everything. I'm not always going to know everything. There's always going to be some unknowns. And despite looking at properties and buying properties for 20 years, I still haven't found the perfect property. So there's always going to be some unknowns with any property. There's always going to be some things that potentially aren't perfect, but that's fine. It's okay and it's completely normal. It's the same for everybody. There's no such thing as the perfect property. But as long as we've ticked all of those boxes and we understand how it fits, then I've got confidence to move into a property contract knowing that I've already done all of my back-end research and I've already admitted to myself that I'm ready to rock and roll. I think that's the most important thing, is when you know that you're ready, then you go out in the market with as much armed with as much ammunition as possible, go into the market and you do what you got to do.
Yeah, it's never to rush anyone, but basically don't drag your feet because you think you've got 7 days. It's important to act fast in today's market. Properties are flying off the shelf, so to speak, and nothing is worse than missing out on a property because someone bought it from underneath you while you were fine-tuning it, all the details. But if you would like to know anything more about the Property Mentors, you can check out our website, propertymentors.com.au. Make sure to follow us on Instagram. Both the podcast and the Property Mentors handles are linked in our show notes, along with all our other socials and a link to our blog, including the inspiration blog for today. Guys, if you really want to take your investing seriously and you want to enhance your educational readiness, the best way to do that is with Luke's latest book, Property Fit. And Luke, where can they get a copy of that?
You can go to propertyfitbook.com.au or you can get a copy at our website, thepropertymentors.com.au.
Yeah. And if you found this episode or any of our episodes helpful, please make sure to share and leave a rating. Again, it helps us reach more people on their investing journeys, and always subscribe to be notified when our episodes drop. As always, thank you so, so much for listening. And Luke, of course, as always, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Phoebe. Look forward to seeing you again soon.